talk about tonight is some important things we need to know about false teachers. The main text that we're going to be using tonight is 2 Peter, the second chapter, and Jude as well. So if you'll turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter, we'll be reading from that for a bit. Some things that I've decided that we're going to examine tonight with false teachers. Obviously, I can't cover everything. I can't cover every motivation. I can't cover everything that causes a false teacher to be a false teacher. But we're going to cover a fair amount of stuff tonight that will help us to understand their prevalence, their methods, their motivation, their characteristics, and the fruit that false teachers bear. 2 Peter, the second chapter in verse 1, reads, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." Just as we have false teachers today, and there are false teachers back whenever the church was first established, there were false teachers or false prophets back in the Old Testament. Turn to Lamentations, the second chapter. And we all know what Lamentations is about. At least by the word, if you've never read it, you should know that it has to do with them lamenting. They've fallen away from following God, the Israelites did during this time. And as a result, God was punishing them. And they knew it. They knew. That's what the writer here is talking about. So turn to verse 14. "Your prophets have seen for you false and foolish visions, and they have not exposed your iniquity so as to restore you from captivity, but they have seen for you false and misleading oracles." Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? To today's standards, we hear a lot of false oracles, supposedly coming straight from God. Those that, like David talked about this morning in his class, those that claim that they're prophets or apostles today still having revelations from God. We can't have that. From those false and misleading oracles, the people that followed those things, it caused them to sin, right? If it's contrary to what God was talking about during this time, he was giving them warning after warning before this happened. If you guys don't straighten up, this is what I'm going to do to you. Over and over. Just like a parent does to a child, or just like my folks did to me a lot when I was a kid. But no, he gave them several warnings, as he always did over and over through the years. Well, they follow these false oracles, these false teachings, these false prophecies. And what do they get as a result? They get led astray. Because it was not what God was telling them. God was telling them, if you don't straighten up, this is what is going to happen. The prophets, these false prophets, were saying, well, it's really not that bad. You guys are going to be okay. As a matter of fact, everything's going to be all right. Well, they end up following that. And what happens? They get punished for it because they followed the false teachings. They promised peace and they had good tidings. But what did that lead to? Well, it led to destruction. Turn to Jeremiah, the 14th chapter. Jeremiah 14 and verse 13. "But ah, Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them, yet they keep saying, there will be no sword or famine in this land. By sword and famine those prophets shall meet their end. The people also whom they are prophesying will be thrown out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And there will be no one to bury them, neither them nor their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters. For I will pour out their own wickedness on them.
Some pretty stern words. Some very stern words, as a matter of fact. That's it's about as undignified a death as you can have, to be thrown out of the street and not be buried. But that's what he's saying is going to happen to them because they're listening to these false prophets. Here he is saying, I haven't told these guys any of this stuff. I haven't told these prophets these things. And what are they doing? They're promising you guys that there will be no sword, that there will be no famine. We hear a lot of the same things today from the supposed preachers, the supposed apostles, the supposed prophets that are out there today. They say, well, all you have to do is take Jesus into your heart, and he'll make everything just fine. Just accept him as your personal Savior, and that's all you need to do. Well, then there's other people that are saying things such as, oh, there really is no hell. My God's a God of love. He wouldn't cast anybody to hell for following something that they really thought to be true and thought to be right. Well, what is God saying here in Jeremiah? What does he say today? He hasn't changed, and nor have the false prophets. A lot of the same things repeated over, just different faces, all too often throughout history. It's the same thing. There will be false teachers among us. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 2. The first verse there, chapter 2 and verse 1, the last part of that statement, even as there will be false teachers among you. Look at Matthew, the 24th chapter and verse 5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Go over at verse 11. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Galatians 4 and verse 17. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 17. They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. We see here, especially from the first few verses we just read there in Matthew, about how there will be, he's warning us. He's warning us over and over. There will be false prophets. There will be false teachers. There will even be people that will call themselves a Christ. They'll call themselves a Savior. We've seen that repeated. Jim Jones and some other people back in the 70s and even the 80s. And who was that last guy? The Waco incident. Koresh. Getting these people to believe it. Getting these people to believe that they were a Christ. That they were their Savior. That they were going to die for him. Well, did they? They in fact did die for him. They did. But that didn't send them to heaven, did it? Well, it didn't. It did not. It's funny that we get these warnings. And it says here, I think it was verse 11 or 24 there in Matthew, that said even the elect, even those that have been baptized into Christ, those that are following Christ, they see something and they're like, wow, you know what, that guy might be right. Well, they get to reading some of their false material, some of their false teaching, and before you know it, they've been led away. We have warnings. It's funny, we say this, the same thing can be said about those warnings that are out on the highways. We see construction signs that say slow down. We see signs that say 35 miles an hour around this corner. And then you see people that have gone off the road or have hit some construction worker or caused some huge accident because they weren't paying attention. That's what those signs are there for. The signs are there to keep us safe. These warnings are here in this Bible to remind us, to let us know there are going to be false teachers. There are going to be people that just for the sake of leading you away, they're going to lead you away. Well, let's look at the methodology of false teachers. How do they work? Again, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Secretly bringing in destructive heresies. Turn to Matthew the 7th chapter. Matthew 7 and 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees bear bad fruit. Matthew the 13th chapter and verse 25. Matthew 13 and 25. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. How about Galatians the 2nd chapter? Galatians 2 and verse 4. Galatians 2 and verse 4. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. Or basically, from being in a saved state, bringing them back into sin, so that they are they're back into bondage because of that. Ephesians the 4th chapter. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. All these things here have many of the same things in common, don't they? It's all done in secret. It's all done sneakily. It's all, if that's a word, but it's all done in a manner that it's underhanded. Okay? How many false teachers are you gonna know or think would come through those doors right there and say, okay, everybody, I'm here to preach something besides what the Word says, so I'm just letting you all know right now in advance. Of course not. They're not going to do that. That's silly. They come in, and they want to give you a little bit at a time. They just give you a little pill at a time. And then if he sees that you're going to swallow that, he's going to bring it up a notch. Well, here's another one. Here's a little bit more this time. They're not going to come in and just blast everybody and say, this is my agenda. I'm here to teach you guys some false doctrine. Doesn't work that way. I like Matthew the 13th chapter in verse 25 because it talks about while they were sleeping, they came in and sowed tares and then left. That's the way a lot of these false teachers work. They don't come here with the intention of being in this congregation. They come in here with an intention to try and bring people out of it. Come follow me. I tell you what. I'll come in here and I'll preach a couple of sermons and maybe I can get some of the weak brothers and sisters that are there to believe in that I'm right. And then they'll come down the street to my church that I'm starting and I'll get rich. You know, that was one thing that we always talked about in Little Rock. There are some big churches here. Well, I use the term church loosely. There are some big congregations of people here following false teaching. There's the one over in Liberty that's gigantic, right off of 152. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that one or not, but it's huge. There's a couple of places. Actually, there's more than a couple of places. There's probably, like five or six gigantic churches down in Little Rock. And we used to kind of joke, and it's a sad way to joke, but in a joking manner, we say, well, if you want to get rich, go start your own church. And that's what a lot of these guys do. They come in here, they have some big highfalutin, and of course, everybody wants to hear, oh, everybody's going to be fine, you can live this life any way you want, just as long as you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And then, when this life's over with, you'll spend eternity in heaven with God. Well, yeah. Everybody wants to be assured of that. Wants to make sure that, okay, I'm all right in God's book. Now I can do whatever I want. Well, if you've got false teachers that are spewing that kind of nonsense, then they're going to gather people. And if we have weak brothers and sisters that we're not looking out for in this congregation, in any congregation we find ourselves in, they may steal them away from us. Right? There's a reason that we have these warnings. There's a reason that we have all this knowledge right here. All of it right here is to keep us from falling into those same snares. That's why it's there. That's why it's there. That's why those warnings are there, because God in His infinite wisdom knew that there were going to be people that were going to distort the truth for their own gain. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 6. For among them are those who enter into the households and captivate women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. Jude 4. Turn to Jude 4. Jude verse 4. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our Master, our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, these guys, they've got evil intentions, as I talked about there in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. They have evil intentions when they come in here. And every last one of these verses has had the idea behind it of creeping in, okay, underhandedly. How can that happen? It happens when we're asleep, when we're not paying attention. That's how we allow these people to creep in. You know, it's great that we have people from other congregations coming in here and preaching for us, no doubt. And it's great that we have other people from other congregations coming and visiting with us. But when someone comes in and teaches something else that's a little bit off, maybe we need to take a look at that before we accept that, okay? That's what it's saying here. Right? Be awake, be aware of different things that are going to come in through the door. Again, back to 2 Peter, the second chapter in verse 1. Who secretly bring in destructive heresies. Okay, they're bringing in destructive heresies. A false teacher is one who advances an erring position, which in the process jeopardizes the spiritual well-being of those who follow him, that which causes division and condemning themselves. Let's move on to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Peter 2 and verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. Turn to, with that in mind, turn to Jude, verse 17 and verse 18. Jude 17 and verse 18. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who will cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. Okay, here's a warning for us here in 2 Peter again, that these people, they will blaspheme the truth. They'll blaspheme the truth. They mock a lot of these same individuals. Turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 7. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water
and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men.
So what's it saying here? That people, they're going to have a false sense of security, all right? A lot of these false teachers are. And we have things that have come out, like this Da Vinci Code and these different things that contest the truth of the Bible. Well, because they haven't seen any physical evidence of God's coming, it's a bunch of, you know, malarkey. It's not true. It's not going to happen. You know, it's great. There's some great principles in here, and there's some good things we need to learn from it, how we can treat each other so we'll get along better, and this will be a better society. But this heaven and hell stuff, I just don't know if I buy it. Okay, that's the type of mentality that creeps in. After all this time, they haven't seen anything. They haven't seen anything to tell them that the Lord's coming. All right, so they're going to start mocking God, which they have. They already have. They've been mocking God. Ever since Jesus died on the cross, they've been mocking Him. All right? So here's the deal. If we've got people that would mock, obviously we need to do our responsibility and teach when we can. But we can't let that type of stuff into our lives, all right? We can't allow that stuff into our hearts, into our minds. So there again, as another warning, a characteristic of false doctrine, that there's going to be mocking. There's going to be people that are going to say, you know what? God's slack concerning His promise. He hasn't come. I don't think He's going to. Jesus was mocked. Turn to John, the 10th chapter. John chapter 10 and verse 20. Jesus is teaching here the parable of the Good Shepherd and on down, basically we get to, verse 20. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" Now, here again, here's Jesus opening the eyes of the blind, giving them some wonderful insight, the Good Shepherd, as we call it, that parable. It's amazing what people will do, even after they've... It's a good example to draw back to, in my opinion here, is the rich man Lazarus. Rich man is dead, and he's in Hades, and he says, "Will you at least send them somebody to tell them," he's talking about his brothers, "that can I go see him, or can you send Lazarus to him and tell him that they need to change their evil ways?" And what does he tell them? They've had Moses, they've had the prophets to tell them. They're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. All right, the same thing goes here. These people, they're learning directly from the Son of God, and they mock him. Right, we have the complete word here for us today to teach us everything we need to know. What 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, talk about. It's complete. It's perfect. For every good work, for all the knowledge I need, this Bible is complete. Yet we still have people mocking. And they're going to continue. They're going to continue. Satan's a deceiver. 2 Peter, the 2 Peter 2 chapter, verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. They will exploit you with deceptive words. John, the 8th chapter, and verse 44. John, the 8th chapter, and verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of all lies. Satan's a deceiver, all right? And the people that are contrary to God, the people that are teaching false doctrines, that's what they do. They're good at it. That's why Satan is the master of it. He's the father of lies, all right? These guys are learning from the master. They're taking the word and twisting it. Just as we've talked about, I don't know how many times in David's class, over and over and over, we address the same thing. You can take a scripture or a section of scriptures and make it say anything you want. You can make it reason. You can change a few little words here and there. Well, actually, it's not translated like this. It's actually translated this way. And now we can make it say whatever we want it to say. Satan's a deceiver. Turn to Jude, the 15th and the 16th verse. Jude 15 and 16. To execute judgment upon all and to convict the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners, have spoken against him. These are grumblers finding fault, falling after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. That's what a lot of these false teachers do. They are here twisting the truth, twisting what we know that God wants us to do for their own advantage, for monetary or for power or whatever it is, whatever kick they're on, that's what they're doing. They're twisting this stuff for their own gain, for their own advantage. False teachers use every opportunity to deceive their prey. 2 Peter 2 and verse 13. Suffering wrongs as the wages of wrongdoing, they count it a pleasure to revile, to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, revealing their deceptions as they carouse with you. Promising liberty, constructing grace in such a way as to accept sinful conduct, they were just serious of practicing. 2 Peter 14 through 19. I tell you what, let's back up to verse 12 and I'll just read through 19 so it's not so broken up. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reveling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong, they count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. Having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he received a rebuke for his own transgressions. For a mute donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water and mists driven by a storm, from whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desire, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. These guys promise. What's the whole, if you don't take anything else from this section of verses right here, what I want you to understand, at least what I get from this, is these guys come in, these females, I say these guys, I use that term loosely, is males and females are preaching today and other groups. They promise all these things. They promise, well, take Jesus into your heart and have him to be your personal savior. Or all you have to do is just show up to services once in a while. You know, we just want to see your face every once in a while, just make sure that you're okay, or whatever the case is. They preach these things, and they promise salvation. But what do they actually have? They themselves are enslaved because they themselves are also following after lies. They're also themselves deceived. They prey on the weak, as we read there in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. What are some of the motivations of false teachers? We touched on it a little bit just a few minutes ago. Their words are designed to be molded to benefit them. All right, they construct these these huge, well, these doctrines, these man-made doctrines that benefit them. We've had some Christians in the past that have changed. They've preached the whole life, they've preached the truth. And then, right as we use Homer Haley as an example, right at the end of his life, he changes to benefit himself. All right? A lot of these guys, they want to believe that. They have to believe that in order to justify in their own mind the actions that they're taking on. Because if they don't believe it, then they know they're wrong. All right? So they'll try and hold another position. And I don't know what it is with human nature, but misery loves company. And they want to drag as many people into them as they can. Maybe it's strength in numbers, I'm not sure. They train themselves in covetousness. They will allure through this lust of the flesh, through wealth, through power, through influence. And again, does that sound familiar? Do these verses that we just read, does it sound familiar? We've got the exact same thing. This warning right here telling us in 2 Peter, the same thing was happening then as is happening now. Just different faces. Same thing, just different faces. How about rebellion? How about rebellion against God? Some people are just, they're flat out rebellious. They see this and they say, forget it. I'm teaching my own thing. God, you're wrong. I'm right. Type of mentality. Turn to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. We will not. How brazen is that? How brazen are we today sometimes? Some of us that we know the truth and we make mistakes and we do sin. We know what's right and we know what's wrong and we go ahead and do the wrong thing anyways. Sometimes, you know, the flesh overcomes us, our desires overcome us and we make mistakes. But that's different than what these false teachers are doing, all right? They've given themselves completely over to lies. And they're using those lies to try and deceive other people. Not only are they saying, "Well, we made a mistake. Let's do the right thing now." They are telling God, "We know what the right way is, but we will not walk in it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not just like a little kid. Sometimes you tell them no, and they get all upset with you for saying no. They reject the authority and they speak evil." Turn to Jude, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and verse 9 of Jude. Yet in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. Many decide their religious beliefs based on what they want to believe. Turn to 2 Peter 3, and verse 16. We'll back up to verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. They don't want to get a good grasp, a good understanding of the scriptures. It's funny how you'll talk to people that are, they're so bent on this once saved, always saved, just take Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior, and everything's fine. You get into a religious discussion with them, and you start testing their knowledge of the scriptures. Not that you're testing them just to test them. But you're finding out, as you're having a discussion with them, how deep is their knowledge, their actual knowledge of the scriptures. Not just what their pastor has told them. Not just what their preacher's told them. How deep is it? Most of the time, it's not very deep. They don't want to know the scriptures. They don't feel they need to know the scriptures. Everything that I'm going to learn from my from my pastor, is the type of mentality that they've got, a lot of them. So that way it's easy for them to distort scriptures. It's easy whenever the pastor rattles off a piece of a scripture or a section of a scripture and uses it for a false principle, it's easier for them to say, okay, I accept that, no problem. We've kind of covered some motivations there. Let's look at the results or the effects of false teaching. Turn to 2 Peter, back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. We'll be reading basically here quite a bit from this chapter. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy, you guys are probably looking at me like, where is he at? I was in 1 Peter. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing on swift destruction upon themselves. Okay, so there's one effect, there's one result, is destruction. Verses 3 through 7. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ash, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. And if he rescued righteous Lot opposed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. What is he saying there? It's over. It's repeated basically over and over and over. Destruction, 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 destruction. We've got lots of examples in the Old Testament, and again repeated, told once again in the New Testament, of what God is willing to do to those who will not listen to Him, those who will not follow the Scriptures, those who would pervert what is good and what is right. But again, it's not enough. It's not enough. Just like the rich man and Lazarus, it's not enough. Verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desire and despise authority. Verses 12 and 13. But these, unlike reasoning animals born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reviling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. Again, over and over, as this, we'll read verse 17 and that'll be enough about the destruction. These are springs without water and mist driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. The black darkness, condemned to hell. It's a serious and a sad thought to think that we've got, hopefully not members here in this church, but that there are members of the body of Christ that are weak in the faith, that with a little bit of the wrong influence could be dragged off the wrong way. That's why we need to be on the watch, we need to be on the lookout, not just for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters that are in Christ. We don't want anyone we love to fall under destruction, under the wrath of God. Verse 20 through 22. I want to read this too, and then we'll close the lesson. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangled them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed to them.
What's it? What's it saying here? The individuals that are dragged away, those that are weak, those that hear this heresy, that hear this false doctrine, and they're pulled away, it would have been better for them to not even have known the truth. We need to be on the lookout, brothers and sisters. We need to be careful, number one. And we are, I think. We're careful with who we let come in here and preach for us. But we need to be on the lookout to help each other out in our daily lives, because there's lots of people that we come in contact with. It's fantastic that David, I think that David opens the floor with the beginning of every one of his classes asking, are there any questions out there? Or is there stuff that you guys are running into that you don't understand? That maybe we can shed a little bit of light by just spending 10 or 15 minutes in class just to discuss the scriptures. Okay, here's the question. Here's what's going on in my life today. Here's how we answer it. We'll go to the Bible, and here's how we'll answer it. It's very important, guys. If you guys come up with stuff like that, if people present to you things that are falsehoods, and you don't know how to answer it, well, you better learn. You better learn how to answer it, because it's not going away. It's, as a matter of fact, it'll get worse over time. People will bring more and more false doctrines into the world. We've got a few more things, but I'm going to go ahead and close. I appreciate you guys' patience tonight. I hope that we will all make sincere action, sincere work towards being cognizant of what's out there, the dangers that are out there, the falsehood that's out there, the things that can drag us away, because none of us are too great or too powerful or too firm in the scriptures not to fall. What do we read this morning? Take heed lest you fall. If you get too full of yourself, pride comes before destruction, is what it says in Proverbs. Pride comes before destruction. So don't think too highly of yourself that you can't hear something fantastic. I'll tell you guys a personal story real quick, and then I promise we'll close. Before I met Davina, I was dating a girl that was going to a Word of Life church. And this was quite a bit younger. I was founded in the scriptures. Obviously, had learned a lot under several different preachers there at Nashville and my folks and everything else. But the devil will creep into your life slowly and quietly. He sure will. And I went to services with her quite a few times, trying to get her to come to services with me and trying to convert her. And, you know, you give and take type of deal, which now I don't think is such a good idea. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody going to some other person's church service that's, you know, but it was, they had a band there, they had all kinds of stuff. They had donuts and orange juice, and it was great. It was great for entertainment, but that's it. But one of the sad things was, my fault, is they start teaching this health and wealth and happiness doctrine that's out there. And you know, and you get to thinking, you're like, you know what? That's not too bad. God really isn't that hateful. There's no way he would send everybody to hell that doesn't listen. Maybe there are other people out there besides those in the church that could be saved. It's not the case. It is not the case. It's laid out for us. We've got warnings. We've got stories after story. We've even got people back in Jeremiah that told God, we will not do it. We're not going to do it. They refuse to follow God. Same thing's going on today. Just a little different song, a little different pace of singing it. But it's the same thing. So be on your guard. I'm not telling you guys that I was ever converted over to what they were believing or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that doubt creeps in, okay? And that doubt will cause problems in your reasoning.
It will corrupt your reasoning. It will. So be on your guard for it. Again, thank you for your attention, and I hope if you didn't learn anything tonight, that maybe I refreshed some things in your mind so that we're a little more cognizant of the wiles that are out there. As is the custom, at the end of every service, we offer an invitation for those that are weak, for those that have issues that they want prayers for. Now's the time to let us know that. If there's anyone here that wants to become a member of the body of Christ, that opportunity is available to you as well. If you'd come forward as we stand and sing.